With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Congratulations to Katie Najat.
I bet you're learning a lot about pole vaulting.
Congratulations to Katie Najat. We have I Have a Theory at 9:40, which that just got spicier.
Somebody's Instagram just got a bunch of clicks.
Take the guest. Go to the guest right now.
Oh, we got to go out to the hotline. Mary Kay Cabot joins us. We have to celebrate the fact that always Mary Kay joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and celebrate that we have a Clevelander, a Mags girl who's now Mags woman, who won the gold at the Olympics in Tokyo for the pole vault, Mary Kay. Very exciting.
Great for Katie. I know a lot of people in the Najat family. This is a great day for Cleveland. A gold medal for Katie. It's just absolutely amazing. So congrats to Katie.
Mary Kay Cabot congratulating Katie Najat. Mary Kay, can you, if you know people in her family, can you get her on the show?
I probably could.
Let's do it. Thank you.
Let me work on that for you.
Thank you very much. Lima, take it away.
All right, Mary Kay, it seems like of the storyline so far at camp, and it's been classified as kind of a quiet camp, we led the show saying that's a great thing. I think that's something the Browns fans should absolutely love, even if it's not crazy content for us every day. We'll take this over the crazy roller coaster rides that we've had in the past. Where does this one rank for you?
Well, in terms of talent and ability on the football field, this is the best roster that I've ever covered. There's no question about that. From top to bottom, and just in terms of depth, this is the most talented football team I've covered. Every time I look out there, you've got an unbelievable weapon on offense. Odell, Jarvis, Kareem, Nick. And now you look at the defense, and I'll tell you what, Miles looks amazing. Jadeveon Clowney has looked really, really good. All those guys in the back end, John Johnson III, this is a darn good defense. And I don't even think it's going to take a long time for them to play really good defense. In fact, I think they're going to play good defense against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show. Donovan Peoples-Jones, where does he fit into this offense?
Well, one of the reasons why Donovan Peoples-Jones has been able to emerge so quickly is because they kind of have Odell in some bubble wrap right now. They're taking it very easy with him. They're being very cautious, and they want to get him to the season healthy coming off of that torn ACL. So he's not doing anything in team. He's really not even doing very much in 7-on-7s. He's just limited to some individual stuff right now, and that's the right way to go. They don't need to put Odell Beckham Jr. out there in these practices right now. So it's giving an opportunity for some of these young guys to emerge, and Donovan Peoples-Jones has seized the moment. Now, again, Rashard Higgins hasn't been out there very much either because he rolled his ankle. So this has been, a chance for Donovan, and he has seized the moment. And I said yesterday on our podcast, the moment that I saw him, sort of box jump onto the top of his car on social media before camp, I knew it was go time for Donovan. He was ready to come in here, and he was ready to make his mark and sort of, state his case that he belongs, that he's going to make some noise this season, and I believe he will do just that.
So, Mary Kay, what I'm fascinated with is it seems like, Baker's got this weaponry and these receivers that, want to make their mark, certainly can. We know the Odell situation coming off the injury. We know what a rock Jarvis Landry has been. We know that they signed Higgins, and he's back for this year at least. And now Donovan Peoples-Jones, not to mention Schwartz. But we also know they ran 3+ wide receiver sets at some of the lowest amounts in football last year. What does this mean for Stefanski's offense if he has more reliable pass catchers?
Well, first of all, I've been saying this for a long time. Kevin Stefanski had to come in here and run an offensive system that he knew was going to work last year. They didn't have time to reinvent the wheel. They were in the midst of a pandemic. Everything got shut down. So in those times when you would get together and incorporate ideas and things, none of that stuff was able to happen. They just had to kind of hit the ground running with what they absolutely knew was going to work, and that was the Gary Kubiak offense. But that's not the Kevin Stefanski offense. Kevin has so many influences in his career. Norv Turner, you know, just a lot of different people that come from a lot of different offensive backgrounds. And I don't think that you can paint him into the, you know, just the 12 personnel type of thing where it's going to be a lot of two tight ends, a lot of running. That's not what this offense is built for. You would be crazy to look out there at this talent and think that they're not going to run a lot more three wides and a lot more, I would say, even some four wides. I mean, they've got the horses to do it, and they will absolutely do it. The problem with this offense is that they almost have too many weapons. It's a good problem to have, but they are going to have to figure out how to manage it, and you don't want to do too many things. You really want to do what you're going to do best. But I look out there now, and I see some really good receivers. Anthony Schwartz, too bad for him that he has tweaked that hamstring again, because his hands were really, really coming around. And when you match that up with the speed that he has, watch out.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show. Well, that brings me to another question, because we saw the Browns want to spread it out in 2019, and that was a disaster. So what is Kevin Stefanski planning on doing differently to be able to spread that defense out and still be able to be an effective offense as compared to 2019, where it just became a sinking ship from day one?
Well, you can't compare anything to 2019 because you had Todd Monken trying to incorporate some air raid concepts. And I remember I asked Freddie Kitchens once, what's your involvement or knowledge of the air raid? And he said, I really don't know what the air raid is. So there was just a disconnect right from the start with whatever was going on in 2019, and it just never got better. Again, I've talked to you guys about this, and you may have talked to some people too that just discussed how disorganized that was, and there was nothing about that made any sense. So that's not how these guys are. I mean, Kevin Stefanski, if they're going to run three wides, they're going to know what they're doing. If they're going to run four verts, they'll know how to do it. I mean, they are really, really good coaches. And that's another reason why you see young guys like Donovan Peoples-Jones and like Anthony Schwartz being able to come up the learning curve so quickly. This is a all-star cast on this coaching staff. I'm telling you right now, some of these guys are going to go on to get head coaching jobs over the next several years.
I fortunately, knock on wood, so far pretty good for most of the Browns roster when it comes to health. However, Anthony Walker leaving practice on Monday with the knee injury. What are you hearing about that? How careful are the Browns going to be?
They will be careful with anybody who's injured right now, because the preseason means nothing to them except for learning and installing. It's not too much more than that. And you're just seeing a very, very conservative approach, which I think is really smart. The Anthony Walker thing, I think they dodged a bullet, but I watched him walk off of the field the other day. And walking off is so much better than being carted off, where, you realize that the news that's going to come back is probably not going to be as bad as it originally feared. So I think he should be okay. I would say a couple of weeks maybe. But here's the thing. It's a blessing in disguise, because Anthony Walker doesn't need all of those first-team reps. Jacob Phillips needs all of those first-team reps. So I think it's actually a silver lining that Jacob will get all that work, because it will help him right from the jump, but also in the event that Anthony goes down during the season, he'll be ready to go.
How big has it been for Mack Wilson that he's had a very nice start to camp? I know he was out yesterday. I think, did they have a child yesterday? I think that was the personal reason for it. So congratulations to Mack Wilson. But he had a good start to camp. How important is it where, I mean, his job's on the line now with Anthony Walker showing up, and all of a sudden a thin wide receiver room gets thinner for him because you might not, or thin linebacker room gets thinner for him because you might not need as many linebackers as you used to need on defense.
Well, here's the situation with Mack Wilson. First of all, congratulations to Mack for the arrival of Mack the second yesterday. He's darling. There are pictures out there on Instagram. He's so darling and cute, and Mac is so excited about it, and so good for him.
Mary Kay, Mary Kay. You said Mac the second. Is it Mac Jr. or Mac the second? This is important to me.
Well, there's, you know, from a numerical standpoint, it looks like the second. So
I am the second. Mary Kay, I am Kenny. I am Kenny the second. Mac named his kid Mac the second. Now he's my favorite Bron. You see how this works?
Yeah, go check it out. Very, very cute. And Mac is so excited about that. And
what website is that on? What social media?
It's on his Instagram.
I'm not on Instagram. I'm a married man.
Well, somebody will show you the pictures. Very cute. But anyway, so here's the deal with Mac Wilson. I think we all forget about the fact that Mac Wilson suffered a hyperextended knee in training camp last year. It looked pretty bad. I watched the injury, and I watched him leave. So, you know, for him to come, he missed about 3 or 4 games at the beginning of last season, and he came back pretty quickly from that injury. But when you come back that fast, quite often you really aren't yourself. And when you miss so much of the install in training camp, it's hard for a guy to recover from that. So I think we all sort of forgot that he had that pretty major setback last year, and it impacted him throughout the season. So now he's healthy. And in addition to that, he really has attached himself at the hip to Anthony Walker. He's absorbing all of Anthony's wisdom and knowledge. Now, Anthony plays in the middle. He plays the Mike linebacker. Mac plays the weak side linebacker spot. He's taking first team reps there. And the guy behind him right now is J.O.K., who now is also back. But Mac is taking first team reps at the will. And it's a great opportunity for him to nail down that starting job when originally we thought maybe he was going to possibly be on the bubble with all these new guys. But he's risen to the occasion, and he's doing a great job.
All right, let's talk about some of the injured secondary from last year, Grant Delpit and Greedy Williams. What are you hearing about them, their progress, how ready they are to go?
Well, first of all, it's been really great to look out there each day and see Greedy out there getting reps and working through that shoulder injury and coming back from it. Because originally, you know, I had talked to some people that wondered if he would ever make it back from that, because you're at the mercy of a nerve that needs to regenerate. So good for him. I hope people are pulling for him, because he's been through heck and he really, really could use, you know, all the support of the fans that he can possibly get, because this has been really difficult on him. As far as Grant is concerned, they're taking it very easy and very slow with him. He's not doing team reps. He's ramping up, and they're doing the best they can to get him to the season healthy. But that's a tough injury to come back from. And I have a feeling that Ronnie Harrison is going to start ahead of him. The bad thing about Ronnie right now is that he tweaked a hamstring. So he's sidelined for a little while, and you have to be very careful with those hamstrings, especially for those speed guys that have to run a lot on the field. There's a little bit of adversity at the safety position right now. Sheldrick Redwine has an ankle injury. So they're a little bit thin there. Some of the younger guys are getting time. But I think Grant should be able to come back and contribute this season. It's just going to be, you know, maybe a little bit slow.
All right, we know yesterday J.C. Treader, the Players Union, advocating for even more testing, given what is happening right now around the country and with some of the results of current testing going on in the NFL with COVID and the variants. What do you think led to this, and what do you think it means right now for this year? I mean, it's not going to jeopardize anything that we know going into the season. Like, it's not going to lead to any big-time limitations, is it?
Well, we don't know yet. And the NFL and the NFLPA have been very clear that they need to pivot along with the virus. Whatever's going on with the virus, they have to respond and react to that. So what the NFLPA is trying to do right now, they are calling, again, for more testing of the vaccinated players and staff members. They want them to be tested every day that they are in the facility. Right now, they're only tested once every 2 weeks. And the testing in the first week showed that 32 of the 65 people that tested positive were vaccinated. And then the other almost half of the people were unvaccinated. So it's running about 50-50 right now. But the thing is, the vaccinated people are only getting tested every 2 weeks. So the NFLPA believes that they should test all of those people every day as well, so that they're not missing any asymptomatic transmission. And they feel that it's the better way to keep everyone safe. Now, the NFL came out after that and said, no, you know, that's not, you know, we haven't agreed to that yet. And, you know, we just don't know how that's going to go yet. But there are so many changing issues with the virus, with the vaccines, with the variants, that it's a fluid situation, and everybody just has to be ready for whatever's coming.
Boy, that's interesting, because obviously we know that Treader and the union had come out last week and said you can't treat those that are unvaccinated like second-class citizens. We already know who those people are in the building. We don't want them marked with any kind of a ribbon or a bracelet or anything like that. And now to see them advocate for more testing for just about everybody, I think this is something that could get pretty contentious.
Well, in the name of safety and in the name of keeping everyone healthy and getting through the season like they did last year, really this what they're advocating is a return to last year's protocols. And if they, you know, if they're going to follow the science, it might just have to be that way. Once again, it's a work in progress, and it's almost changing daily. And there are new guidelines coming out on a regular basis from the CDC, and they've really been following the CDC guidelines very closely. The NFL and NFLPA have. So as those guidelines move forward, they have to change along with them. But I do agree with you that a lot of players that got vaccinated to not be tested every single day will probably not love the idea of having that happen if it does happen. But who can argue with trying to keep players healthy?
What's the capital of Virginia?
Oh, I knew you were going to do this to me.
Yeah.
I need to back up on something real quick.
Someone on Twitter told me to do it. What? You got to back up on something? What?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, one thing that I think they should reconsider, but they probably won't, all these joint practices between two different teams, like, you know, the Giants coming in here and other teams doing that with each other, when there are 90 players on rosters right now and all the different things going on with, you know, with the virus and so much, you know, so many positives in the first week and some things that are going on, I just have to wonder if that's a wise thing to do, to spend 2 days against another team that all these teams are doing. I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
I mean, I can see. I think they have, what, 60-something positives among, what, how many thousands? I feel that Dr. Sills would probably fight against it, but I see where you're coming from on there. Because it's always well, better safe than sorry, isn't it? You know,
yeah,
you can't ever.
That's just in the first week. So, yeah. So, I don't know. It just seems like that's sort of a high-risk thing to do from a virus standpoint. But, I mean, I could be wrong. It just seems like it might lend itself to some unnecessary transmission for teams. But, I mean, we'll see. Like I said, everything's changing as we move forward here.
Mary Kay, we thank you very much for the time.
Just excited about football, Mary Kay. I think that's one thing everybody can come together and say at the same time. We're excited about football.
Mary Kay, thank
you. Yeah, it's great to see the fans out there.
Right.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much, Mary Kay Cabot. Where Paul Gardner says, is Mary Kay the new PR director for the Browns? Jeez. Okay, you guys complain when she has bad news. You complain when she has good news. Which one do you want?
I'd like to complain.
Take a road and go down it, please. Lord Almighty.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.